Let's turn our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So keep it on both 1 Corinthians 12:28 and also Romans 12:6-8. Today I'm going to combine two gifts in one, and they're so similar that it was actually quite easy to do this. So if you need a Bible, raise your hand and one of our ushers will make sure you get one. 1 Corinthians 12:28. We're going to read this first, and then Romans 12:6-8. So let's read this. 1 Corinthians first. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, various kinds of tongues. And then go to Romans 12:6-8. It says, since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. If service, in his serving. Or he who teaches in his teaching, or he who exhorts in his exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, and he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Amen. Let's pray together. Thank you. Father, we thank you, God. Lord, we are thankful for our health and that we're here today, God, and not sick. But we also remember, God, people like 11 and our congregations, Lord, in Beijing and Shanghai, God, that are dealing with this, God, on the front lines. And Lord, we just pray for your mercy and your grace to be extended. We pray that here in Hong Kong, God, that we would remember, God, and that we would be people of prayer and people of faith. Lord, Jesus, Lord, you reminded us, you asked this question, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? And I pray, God, that it's in these moments like this, God, that we really need to come and step out in that faith, Lord. And so, Lord, I pray that you would find us as faithful, particularly during this time, God. And that faithfulness, God, would be demonstrated, God, by our generosity and our care for others, Lord. God, but now we come humbly to your word, God. And we ask you to speak to us through it. To that end, we ask right now to release the revelatory ministry of the Holy Spirit in this room. Lord, give us an ear to hear and a heart to receive what the Spirit is saying to each one of us individually and corporately as a body. Lord, I humble myself today. I ask that you use me to preach your prophetic word with power and authority. Help me, Lord, not just to convey your words, God, but convey your heart. We thank you, Lord. We love you in this house, God. And in Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. 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 So today I want to talk about the gift of helps. So say helps. Helps. Notice it's plural. So there's multi meanings of this, and it's also the gift of service. So say service.
Service.
Now, will there ever be groups of people, there will always be practical needs. And it's seemingly that God provides people who have the ability with an unselfish attitude to meet those needs. These people are willing to serve others in the group, church, business, family, all sorts of things. And such is the nature of a person who operates in this gift and thus demonstrates the very loving nature of God. Now, though all Christians, we're to unselfishly regard others as more highly than themselves, but those with this gift seem to shine much more in this role. Now, again, notice because there's a plurality of this gift, it's plural, which indicates there are diverse forms of how this gift of helps operates and how this gift is manifested in us. And so, you know, this is one of these things where I think it's so multifaceted that we can draw all sorts of different things in this. Now, as I mentioned previously, these things that we are categorizing as the love gifts, this would be the gift of administrations or governments that we talked about, the gift of mercy, and particularly the gift of service and the gift of helps. This is what we call high percentage gifts with low visibility, okay? High percentage gifts with low visibility. In other words, what I mean by that is that these gifts are very, very prevalent and present in the church. If there's one person with the gift of healing, there's probably 10 people with the gift of what the love gives, helps, mercies, governments, and so on and so forth, and service. And so, but at the same time, this also seems to have a very low visibility. These are not the ones that get famous, and these are not the ones that many times get heralded in the church and other organizations, but it's so, so necessary. These gifts don't attract a lot of attention, but they're vital to the fruitfulness of a church. To give an example, you've never probably ever heard of a lady named Stephanie Mills, or you've probably never heard of a lady named Irma Griswold, but they operated in their gifts of helps, in their gift of service, but I guarantee you heard of the people that they served. You heard of basically the recipients of those gifts of helps and of service. Stephanie Mills was Billy Graham's personal assistant, and Irma Griswold was Bill Bright's helper, who was the founder of Campus Crusade for Christ, who now we call CRU. And these ladies, you probably wouldn't be able to pick them out, you know, anywhere, but they were vital in helping these two particular godly men ascend in their ministry and their leadership gifts and their apostolic gifts and all these other things to do the work they have for the kingdom. And these ladies came alongside in the gift of service and helps that enabled them to be all that they can be. It was powerful. And so when you think about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, when Paul is talking about the gifts, I think we misunderstand this passage. And he says that it seems that we would need the weaker members of our body. And in fact, he says those that are less honorable, we bestow more honor upon them. Now, most of us think that those are kind of like the people that don't contribute to church. Actually, that's not what Paul is saying. I think Paul is talking about spiritual gifts because that's the context of what he's talking about in 12. And these lesser, less honorable, I think he's talking about the love gifts. I think he's talking about these certain gifts and these certain people that will not become famous, that will not write books and all these different things, but they're going to make an incredible impact. And in fact, he says, and God will bestow on them even greater, more abundant honor. And it's something. It's so precious of how it moves in this in these ways. You know, like the gift of mercy, the gift of helps is really a one-on-one ministry. The gift of mercy, you find one person or, you know, a small group, and you go out, you have a way to help them and be merciful to them. In that same way, the gift of helps kind of works in that same idea. But unlike the gift of mercy, however, where the recipients of the benefit of that gift are usually people that are down and out, but actually in this gift of helps, it's not necessarily just down and out. It's usually other Christians, usually leaders, that benefit from exercising their respective gifts. Okay, so let's follow our format, real simple format, definition. So here's a definition, and I'm gonna do helps and service, but I'm not gonna talk about service too much because I think it's pretty self-explanatory. So the gift of helps, here's the definition. The gift of helps refers to the capacity to unselfishly meet the needs of others through very practical means. Right, so refers to the capacity to unselfishly meet the needs of others through very practical means. So here's Dr. Wagner's definition. The gift of helps is a special ability that God gives to some members of the body of Christ to invest the talents they have in the life and ministry of other members of the body, thus enabling the person helped to increase the effectiveness of his or her spiritual gifts. So there's a very famous Bible teacher that said, people that have the gift of helps, he calls them stretcher bearers. And what he means by this, he's obviously referring to the passage in Mark 2 where it talks about the four guys that brought in the paralytic, that carried the stretcher of the paralytic, remember, through the roof and down. Notice, you never know the names of these four guys. Like no one knows who these are. I mean, Jesus knew who they were. People probably in the city knew who they were, but no one else. We don't know who they are. They're just four random guys, but operating in their gift of helps that enable this friend to be healed and for the Lord to continue to operate in his gift. Again, no names, but great impact. No names, but great impact. Brothers and sisters, you got to know, for every person that's in the front, that stands on stage like me, there's at least 10 people behind that enable me to step into this role and to teach right now as I'm here. You can see how precious this thing works out. So let me talk about the gift of service real quick, okay? So the gift of service, again, this is Dr. Wagner's definition. The gift of service is the special ability that God gives to certain members of the body of Christ to identify the unmet needs involved in a task related to God's work and to make use of available resources to meet those needs and to help accomplish the desired goals. So the gift of service, if you can think about it this way, the gift of helps is tangible, it is service, but it's really pointed particularly to a person, to a leader or a group of people to advance them in their gifts. The gift of service is more task-oriented. It may not necessarily be towards a certain leader or person, but it's really more to the body of Christ in that way. And so it's kind of some nuances, but still very, very similar in this. Now, the beauty, this is the key to really understanding this. The beauty of the gift of helps and the gift of service is the way that God takes commonplace, routine, mundane, menial tasks and he raises it up to a spiritual level. This is the key to understanding this gift. So we have routine, mundane, ordinary, menial tasks. But what God does when he empowers a believer to operate in these gifts, helps and service, he lifts up those tasks into something that's holy and something that's spiritual. Okay, I'll give you an example, all right? We have a ministry here called Barista Ministry. And so in Barista Ministry, after service, if you're new, right, you can get a free drink of your choice, which is great. Actually, to be honest, it's not really a great bargain because our drinks are so cheap anyway, you know, but we want to bless you with something free. That's the whole point. But so they go and they pour coffee and they make tea. If you do it at Starbucks, you're making minimum wage. It's routine, it's menial, it's just a job, you're doing this thing. But when you're doing it at SP Barista and you're here at SP and you've been empowered by the gift, all of a sudden, pouring the coffee, making the tea is something holy, is something spiritual, it's something life-affirming, it's so godly. It's crazy how that works, right? This is how he takes these mundane things, and because he empowers us to operate in this gift, the very thing that you could be doing somewhere else, and you're doing in the service of the body of Christ, all of a sudden becomes holy. Just as holy as me preaching this message. I mean, it's crazy. And most of us in our mind, we wouldn't think in those terms. We would think, oh, Pastor Sam's doing really holy work right now. You know, he's preaching the word of God, you know, and you got to say it like that too. And then but I'm pouring coffee and tea, it's just menial, like anyone can do that. And God says, no. God empowers people with this gift and he makes the ordinary extraordinary. He turns the natural into supernatural. It's something that happens. I'll give you another one, okay, because a lot of you guys are not in Barista, but I'm sure a lot of you guys did this. So in our church, every person a minister, every minister a servant, where all of us are called to serve. And so we want to embody that in the life of our church. This is, I mean, we want that to be ingrained in everything that we do. So at our NSP, we don't have a janitor. We are the janitors. You know what I mean? Like, this is our house. We take care of our own house. And so the way we administrate that is we let the house churches do that. And so which house church is cleaning up today? What's the name of your house church, Brian? Huh? Oh, Meg Robinson. Okay, thanks. Yeah, Meg Robinson, okay. Which one of you guys is vacuuming today? Brian, all right. Brian, I'm going to use you. This is a great example. Think about this. Brian is vacuuming at home. I don't know if you do that. Okay. Trish says no, but let's pretend Brian is vacuuming at home. So Brian is vacuuming at home, and then all that's just routine, it's boring, but it's something that needs to get done. Okay, so let's imagine Brian's vacuuming. So that happens there. Now, vacuuming, house church vacuuming in the sanctuary, all of a sudden, that boring routine, that thing that needs to get done, now is holy. Now it's spiritual. Now it's life-giving. God shines through this act. That's the gift. That's how this thing works. Now, then you say, well, P. Sam, not everyone has this gift. How about someone that's just doing it because they're rostered to do it? Like they have no choice, right? Like they've never vacuumed at home, like Brian. But they got to do it here at church. And so what is that like? This is the difference. Probably the person without the gift does it out of duty. Doesn't really want to be there. Doesn't really want to do it. And just while they're vacuuming, just thinking to themselves, I can't believe I'm vacuuming right now. That's no gift. This is the gift. The person that probably has the gift of helps and the gift of service, this person that's vacuuming, doing this, is happy, is content, wants to be there. And remember the other person says, I can't believe I'm vacuuming. This person says, I can't believe I'm vacuuming. I'm vacuuming for Jesus. I can't believe this is incredible. This is a holy. You see how the gift manifests it? I mean, a lot has to do with our hearts in that way. But it's a special joy. Just think of the most mundane things. But when God empowers the person to operate in this gift, and I want to tell you, most of you in this room have this gift of helps or mercy. Oh, I'm sorry, helps service that's operating here. The church cannot be the church without these gifts operating. And when it happens and works, something beautiful comes out of this. Like I said, these kinds of gifts could be exactly what Paul talked about in 1 Corinthians 12. That those in the body, which we deem less honorable, that God shows them more abundant honor. There's going to be great reward when we get there. Okay? So, I have six signs. So, six signs that you may have the gift of helps or service, but mostly helps. Number one, remember, think, okay, does this sound like me? Or does it sound like someone I know that you need to let them know? Number one, a desire to help others. You just have a very simple desire to help others. Number two, an ability to see ways that other people will be helped. In other words, not only a desire, but actually you go about doing it. You have ability, you see ways that other people can be helped by you and by others as well. Number three, an unselfish nature that can do tasks whether they appeal menial or not. This is important. An unselfish nature that can do tasks whether they appeal menial or not. You know, in Hong Kong, in this helper culture, we are trying, I'll be honest, very unsuccessfully to teach our kids not to be dependent on nannying or helper and you know, laundry and all these things that they're going to have to learn these skills down the road. But it's really tough. And we make our kids do things and you know, do simple chores and things like that. And my kids, particularly, I'm not going to tell you which one, but one of the young ones, always, whenever she does something, she always does like this. Wow. Like, you need to pay me now, you know? Because, you know, we make them wash the car, or I do it with them. And so I give them a little bit of money, some chores, right? They do this. But now they got into their mind that anything I ask them to do, they expect payment from. That's not the gift. That's not the gift. It's an unselfish nature that can do tasks whether they appeal menial or not. Number four, now this is a little hard to understand, so just get this. a bent toward enjoying practical service more than theoretical service of a conceptual nature. You guys, in other words, like, practical. This kind of service is not just heady, it's not intellectual, it's actually putting feet to the vision, actually doing stuff. This is very practical service. Number five, this is probably better with the illustration I gave, a willingness to do little jobs without any credit. A willingness to do little jobs without any credit. It is done just for the joy of doing them or the knowledge that they are helping others. I'm sure there's no one at church like this, but I'm sure if you look at your company, look at your workplace, there's always people that always want credit for the littlest thing that they do. They don't have the gift. This is how this works out. And the last one, number six, in the church, the person recognizes that their practical service releases others to operate in their gifts, especially leadership gifts. This person is just recognizes that if I can do this, it'll free up my leaders to be able to do that. And a great example of this is Acts chapter 6. Remember, we have the seven deacons that are raised up, and they start washing tables. In fact, the word deacon, diakonos, is actually the word here that's used for service. It's the same word. And so it's the idea of being to minister. And so we see this happening, and they freed up the apostles, right? Basically what? So they can devote themselves to prayer and to the teaching of the word. And so that was a major gift of helps that was operating in that place. But probably, and now I finally get to use a basketball analogy that really, really works, okay? So this is perfect. A basketball team, there's five people that play on the team at the same time, okay? Out of these five people, maybe one or two of these will be the superstars, right? I mean, everyone has it. We have LeBron James, the Lakers, Anthony Davis. The other guys are okay, but we got two legitimate superstars. That's usually how teams are assembled these days. And so what this is that these superstars, these star players, they score lots of points. They get a lot of rebounds. They get a lot of the ink. They get a lot of the praise during this time. But these star players, they require a person who could set screens for them. In other words, allow them to get open and then pass them the ball. Now, in basketball terminology, each time a player passes the ball to another player and he scores the basket, it's called an assist. Say assist. I'm teaching you something very important right now, okay? So that is perfect. That's exactly what this gift does. It's an assist to these star players. Now, I'm not saying that pastors, we're not star players, okay? We're normal people, right? Don't try to mix the analogy there. But it allows them to score. It allows them to do what God's called them to do. And that person comes alongside that enables them to do that, that assists them. I mean, it's perfect. And if you ever played basketball, you know how important this is. And so, like for me, I play a lot, and amongst all the lot of different guys in our church that play, I actually really enjoy playing with John Koshy, who's sitting here, because John passes me the ball all the time. Thanks, bro. Right? And so, but that's what you're supposed to do, right? Because you want to win. And so you pass the ball to the guy that can score. Right? That's me. And so this is basically how it works. And I think it's really important for us to get this. It's an assist. See, the star cannot shine without the assistance, without people that come and assist this person and really help that person to score. Think about this. Just put a mental note in your mind when you think about the gift of helps, the gift of service. You want to help your leaders, your house church leaders, your boss, your parents, whatever it is, and you're just thinking, I want to help them score. Whatever score means to you and in that context and that circumstance, that's how the gift works. I want to help them score. I want to set them up in a position so they can score, so they can accomplish and do what God's calling them to do. That's the gift of helps. That's the gift of service. Because if your house church leader can score, guess what? They're going to win. And your whole team is going to win. If your boss can score, then guess what? They can win, and your whole team wins. This is how kind of this lays out. That was pretty good, huh, for basketball? I guess John liked it, right? Any case, all right. So, examples in the Bible. Romans chapter 16. There's quite a few, but I narrowed down. Romans chapter 16, verse 1 and 2. This is what he says. Paul writes to the church in Rome, and he says, I commend to you our sister Phoebe, who is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea, that you receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints, that you help her in whatever matter she may have need of you, for she herself has also been a helper of many and of myself as well. This is the gift of helps working right now. He's saying that this sister Phoebe, she's going to come to you in Rome. I want you to welcome her, and I want you to help her because she has helped so many people. And in fact, she has, if I'm going to use that analogy, she's helped me to score, as Paul's saying. And so our whole team can win. And so Phoebe had the gift of service, the gift of helps. Now, in Mark 15, verse 40 and 41, we have here, there's these women, and it says, and there were also some women looking from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene, or Magdala, and Mary the mother of James, and the less, and Joseph, and Salome. When he was in Galilee, they used to follow him and minister to him, and there were many other women who came up with him to Jerusalem. And so these women in particular also operated in the gifts of helps and the gift of service. The word they ministered to him is that same word. They ministered to him so that allowed Jesus to be Jesus. That's pretty cool. Basically just allowed, they did things behind the scenes. They served and they helped in such a way that allowed Jesus to do everything that Jesus did. They ministered to him in that way. And I think it's such a beautiful picture. And it wasn't just these ladies. It was a whole bunch of ladies that became his disciples during this time. And Phoebe and these ladies helped Paul and Jesus to carry on their great work. In other words, they assisted. There were great assists happening during this time. Amen? Okay. On your chair, I'm going to take a little pause here. I'm almost done with the sermon. On your chair is a piece of paper. We're going to do this right now together as a church. Spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, spiritual gifts are meant for the body of Christ. And so if you need a pen, raise your hand, and one of our ushers will get you a pen. We're all going to fill this out, and we're all going to turn it in at the same time. So lift your hands. Hey, Mom, can I get one? Every person a minister, every minister a servant. God's, even if you have this gift or not, God's called all of us to serve. And I would say this, I say it very, very clearly. If you are part of this church and you've been part of this church for 2 years plus and you're not serving in any capacity, you're not growing. You're just not going to grow. There becomes some point of our spiritual life that a shift occurs. That it's not about so much what I can get, but a shift happens. This is what's called spiritual maturity, when you begin to recognize that it's not about me. I actually get the privilege of serving others. And when it becomes about other people, that's when God starts maturing us in this way. And so we want to give you an opportunity to scan. We've been going through these spiritual gifts for about 6 months now. the scan, and there's gifts, abilities, acquired traits that God has specifically blessed you with, that God wants to bless the body with. Spiritual gifts outside the body of Christ are actually not spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts only work in the context of the body. That's why every time in the Bible where spiritual gifts are mentioned, Romans, 1 Corinthians, they speak simultaneously about the body of Christ. They work hand in hand together. That's how this works. And so I want you to write your name, right? If you're a member of a house church, your email address, you completed your Growing in Christ class, because this is kind of our bare minimum before you can start serving. And listen, it's not so much that we can vet you, but it's so much. It's actually so you can vet us. You know, you're just not a person with gifts. We don't just want to use you. That's the whole idea. We want to come alongside and partner with what God is doing in your God story, in your narrative. And so it's important for us to recognize this, but we do have this class, and you can know who we are, and you can vet us, and you know, see if you want to really contribute into this house. And so we have all these gifts here, and then these are different ministries that use these particular gifts. And so if that's you, and I just want you to check off, it doesn't mean that you're going to be on this new team or anything like that. But our leaders will reach out to you, right? So it's not a guarantee of a servant position, but someone's going to reach out, because every person a minister, and every minister a servant. And so spend some time, because when you understand your gifts and you're operating this, man, we really become the body of Christ. And when even one of us in this body is not fully operating in this way, we are incomplete. So I want you to take some time, prayerfully take some time. I'm going to wait for you, and we're going to do this, and then we're going to pass it in. And you can keep the pen, right? Are we letting them keep the pen? Yeah. No. Okay. Executive pastor says no. Turn them back in, please. Oh, yeah, we got next service. Okay. So 15 gifts. Now, there's a lot more, but from what we had here, so go ahead, take your time. Oh, keep the pens. Our sermon last week was the gift of giving. Keep the pens. Or if any of these things interest you at all, and I should say, in terms of growing in Christ as a discipleship class, you don't have to have finished the class to start serving. But you need to make a commitment to us that you will complete the class before the year's out. And you can serve still. It's a low bar, people, right? It's a low bar. Give you a few more minutes. And even if you're new to church, you can fill it out too. It's okay. God's given you a lot of gifts. We want to be blessed through you. How many need more time? Okay, a few of you, okay. Jashik. If you're done, you can pass the papers to the center row. And our ushers will come down and collect it. Just pass the papers into the center row. So people on the aisles, middle aisles, please collect. And don't worry if you're like, oh, I forgot something. You know, we can update it, okay? Don't worry. Every person a minister, and every minister a servant. All right, how can we build the body of Christ? How can we build up our church? How can we bring order into this house and into our lives? Big part of it is by operating in your gift and blessing others. And if you're not finished yet, you can just make sure that the ushers get it on the way out. Okay, let me continue on. Personal example. Personal example, number three. So, for me personally, my first ministry job, I had a crazy conversion experience. I got saved in April of 1992 after a mission trip. I was in Mexico playing basketball, and I totally met Jesus. In fact, I'm gonna share my testimony in a few weeks when we talk about this God of order thing that we start off. But so I'll save it for now. Just got radically saved. My life, flipped upside down. That end of that year, and it was a crazy time. I ended up going to Hong Kong a month after I met Jesus in May. That's when I came here in 1992. I stayed here for the whole summer. Had the most amazing time, fell in love with this city, went back home, finished my senior year. My parents were going through crazy financial turmoil. I mentioned, a couple weeks ago, China opened up and my dad's furniture company, done overnight. And so they're going through a very difficult time. And so during that time, I had two more classes to finish. I had one more class to finish my second semester in university, but I was also playing sports, so I had to go. And so, during that time, as I was really wrestling with, should I go into full-time vocational ministry or should I go into business to care for my family? Now, during this time, things have gotten a little better, but my parents started something else, and long story, but I'm not going to get into it. So I had to make that decision, and so in December of 1992, I've been a Christian for roughly about 8 months now, and someone asked me if I would teach some young children. And so I became basically the youth pastor, or more the children's pastor of a church called Saddleback Korean Presbyterian Church. It was in Aliso Viejo, South Orange County, and I had four kindergartners and four junior high school students. And so, let me blow your mind right now. I led worship a cappella. That's when I found out I couldn't sing. I thought I could sing the whole time, and the kids were like kind of just stare at me, and that's when I realized I was tone deaf. But any case, so I led worship a cappella during this time, and that was my first foray into ministry. I go back to Hong Kong in 1993, come back here, intended to live here. I tore my ACL and I was going to play semi-pro ball and all this. So I ended up going back to Hong Kong, and then in the midst of my rehab, and now I started working. I was an accountant during this time, and a church called Thanksgiving Church invited me to become their youth pastor. And so over a lot of prayer, and I decided to do that. So I was bivocational. I was working as an accountant, and on the weekends, I would be a youth pastor. This, by the way, is a church that Pastor Brian Kim. I met him when he was 15 years old. He was a sophomore in high school, punk kid, right? Little wannabe gangster kid. And so, and he was part of the youth group, and God really began to move. I tell this whole story to really share not about me, but about one of my teachers. When I was there at this church, I had a teacher named Paul, and he was a student at Cal State Fullerton. He grew up in that church, and he joined me in the high school ministry. And so I had a few of these teachers there, and Paul had the incredible gift of helps. I mean, he was incredible, gift of helps, gift of service, prophecy, tongues. And so when I would preach, and, you know, I'm young, right? You know what I mean? And so I'm learning how to preach during this time. And so mostly I just yelled most of the time. I'm being perfectly honest. I just thought effective preaching is loud preaching. And so so everyone would call me Veins. That was my nickname, because every time I'd speak, my veins in my neck and my head would just bulge, and so kids were really afraid of me, and so they would just call me, "Oh, it's Pastor Veins," and so I just was loud, I don't know anything that I'm doing. I'm learning all this. I have no experience, no seminary, no nothing, and on this crazy church, you know, and that Pastor Kim that came last year, he's a senior pastor. He's the guy that hired me, and so but come to this church, and I was just. Every time I'd be up there, and I'm like, what am I saying? What's going on? And I would see Paul, and he usually sit towards the back of this sanctuary, and he'd just be doing this the whole time because he was praying. He was praying in tongues for me the whole time. Every single time I preached, right? We were together for about 5 years in that ministry. I kid you not, every single time that I preached, I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know what was going on. Right, totally no confidence whatsoever, no skill to speak of, but just strengthened by this guy. And he had the weirdest hairstyle, because you could see his hairdo, you know, back up and down. But he was praying for me. It was the gift of helps. Obviously he also had a gift of intercession, but the prime and it strengthened me is I could ever. He would do anything for the ministry, and. I don't know if you guys remember youth group back in the days, but, you know, these kids don't have cars. And so Paul and one of my other teachers would spend an hour and a half after service every Friday night, Sunday before service, Sunday after service, picking up, taking kids home all over, you know, our area. And our kids were coming from all over the place. It's the gift of helps. They allowed me, they did those things that allowed me basically to become a better preacher. So I could spend time praying and reading and learning and all these different things. They freed me from, because those are things that I was supposed to do. They freed me from those things so that I can be who I am now. And I have such an incredible debt of gratitude to Paul and so many of my other teachers during this time. These guys took care of all the little things that allowed me to lead well. And man, this gift is powerful, so powerful. And probably, to be really honest, Joe Public will probably not understand the power of this gift, but leaders, we know. We know, we appreciate it. It's just something so supernatural about how this works. You know, here in SP, Yiling is this person for me now. She's my Paul, basically, from all those years before. And so she makes sure that I'm well taken care of so that I could focus on leading. I really appreciate her. She's going to come back, praise God. Now, that doesn't scare me. My wife also has done a very good job, you know. But it's been a little bit of a learning curve for me and her. And so, like I'll give you an example, and I got a permission, okay, so don't worry. So, like, one of the things, I come into morning prayer, and because I'm getting older, and so, you know, I need to stay more fit, and so, I've been running to church just about every morning, and I come in, and if you're in morning, you know, I usually come in all sweaty and stuff, and so I'll come in, and I just ask my wife, who's my personal assistant, you know, when I come in, can you make sure that if the water is not there, that it's there? You know, in the days I'm running, can you make sure it's cold? In the days that I'm not running, can you make sure it's warm? I mean, just simple things, right? And can you make sure the glasses, you know, and my pen are on my chair? You know, so I can just walk in and just go straight into the Bible and start downloading from God. And my wife's first response was, do it yourself. I went, I was like, huh? I was like, I said, Yiling used to do these things for me. She helps me to be successful. And then again, my wife says, just do it yourself. It's right there. I mean, it is literally right there. It's that drawer right there on the table. But, and I had to sit back and say, well, I says, your job description is to help me. And it's funny, in our conversation, that didn't really, you know, minister at all. But then she thought, well, okay, the Holy Spirit was working on her. Then she thought, well, if R.T. Kendall was here, you know, my mentor, our advisor at our church, if R.T. was here, she said, I would gladly do anything for R.T. I was like, husband, you know? And then I pulled the boss card. Just do it yourself, right, is the refrain. But Lisa's fantastic now, right? So I don't want you to get the wrong idea. You know, we had to work through a few hiccups during this time. But, you know, it's a pretty good example and pretty bad example of how this works. But for going back to Yiling, yeah, she's been really wonderful. You know, just takes care of certain aspects of admin that really allow me to focus on what I need to focus on. And as a leader, you have no idea what a blessing that is. And I know very, very well. And listen, let's just be very honest, okay? You know, when we talk about Solomon's porch and all these things, you know, in the natural, I will get most of the credit. It's just one of those things. I'm telling you, I definitely don't deserve it by any means, but I'll get most of the credit. But really, and this is why I think the Bible says that he will bestow more abundant honor, but really, the people that really deserve the credit is actually the staff. It's those guys behind the scenes. It's our house church leaders. It's all the people that are doing the works of service, operating the gift of helps. On earth, listen, it's actually exactly how Paul says it. On earth, I may get a lot of the credit. In heaven, those guys are going to get all the credit. It's true, right? Paul says that because those guys that have honor, they don't need it. They've already received it. And so, which is kind of bad for me, but it's okay because it's good for everybody else. And this is how the body, this is how the team works in this way. And so really appreciate these gifts. So why should you want this gift? I think it's self-explanatory, but I'll still say it anyway. Listen, every one of us are called to be servants. Every person a minister and every minister a servant. God pours out the Spirit to empower us to serve and to help. Listen, we should want this gift because it brings more abundant honor. 1 Corinthians 12, 22-23. On the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary, and those members of the body which we deem less honorable, on these we bestow more abundant honor, and our less presentable members become much more presentable. The next passage says, because the presentable have already received something to that effect. And so let's really pray for this gift of helps and the gift of serving to explode in our life. Do you want to be a servant? And do you want to be a servant that is just unselfish, that just freely gives of your time and your resources and your skills? And you don't want any credit for it. Maybe there's this blackness in your heart that you want to be noticed and you want to be recognized, but you want to be the person, I don't want recognition. I just want to be unselfish and just help other people, you know, with a pure heart. This is, if that's where you're at, listen, you probably have this gift. And maybe we just need to fan the flame a little bit that this gift could really flow into operation. Amen? All right, let me invite the worship team to come. Thank you for filling out the forms, by the way. And let the Holy Spirit speak to you. What other people say that you have a servant's heart. Not what you say, what other people say that you have a servant's heart. It's the heart of Jesus, who got down on his knees, girded his clothing, and washed his disciples' feet. And he said, you don't understand what I'm doing to you now, but you will. A servant is not greater than his master. But his master is willing to wash your feet as I am doing to you. So you should also serve others and wash others' feet. I know we have amazing servants in this house. But I also know there's others that God wants to tap into as well. And as the worship team just leads in a song, I just want you to meditate. Gift of helps, gift of service. A servant's heart, the heart of Jesus. First of all, can I invite any one of you that you believe, you don't have to be sure, but you believe that you operate in the gift of helps or the gift of service. Can I invite you to come up to the front, please? You're going to be helping and serving today. Would you which should be very easy for you to do, because that's your gift. So I want you to come. Now again, I want you to face the audience. Right? I know there's a number of you that are here. Right? You know, you have the gift of helps or the gift of service. Okay, come on up. Okay, and as we do, can we, first of all, can we celebrate this gift? Can we thank God for these people? Amen. All right, now, if you, and this is the simple call, if you want to have more of a servant's heart, not only do you want to have this gift, but just simply you want to have more of a servant's heart, I want you to come and stand in front of one of these people to get and receive prayer for. Why don't we come and let's just get prayed for and ask God to stir up inside of our lives, huh? And you guys that are praying, I simply want you to lay your hands on their shoulder and pray for this gift. Don't pray for anything else. Pray for this gift, okay? And pray for a servant's heart to operate. Can we do this? Okay, let's pray. And Chris will lead us. The rest of us, let's stand to our feet and let's worship the Lord together.
You wash the feet of the weary. Embrace the ones in need. I want to be Jesus, to have this heart in me. You are the God of the humble. You are the humble King. Oh, kneel me down.
Let's sing this song together as an anthem. Pray together. Father, thank you, God, that you are the humble King. God, that you not only wash the disciples' feet, God, but you wash our feet as well. And you ask us to do likewise, God. But I pray for our churches, Lord, that we would have servant hearts. I know that you've empowered so many in this body to operate in the gifts of service and the gifts of helps, God. I pray, Lord, that you would use these precious gifts, Lord, God, to build this church, to build the body of Christ, Lord. God, we thank you, God. We love you, Lord. We bless you. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and to be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, shalom, from this day forever. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Once you hug someone next to you, say, hey, keep safe, keep warm. Have a great, great week this week. Let's pray our guts out, huh? God bless you guys.